Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to just be back with you. I just thank the Lord for he is an awesome God. Can we just give him some praise in the chat? Just say hallelujah, amen, some praise hands, wherever you're sitting at or standing at, just thank him for his goodness and his mercy that he's bestowed in our lives. As you can see in my background, there's a concordance over here, and we're going to talk about that today as we get in back into fulfilling our calling, how we can impact somebody's life, and unbeknownst to us, how God can use us in a just a huge way, a huge way. And I am believing that God is going to use you today in an amazing way. Well, as always, thank you for just staying connected with us and being living epistles. That's been in my heart and my mind that we are walking Bibles, that people are looking at our examples, they're listening to the words that we're speaking, but we don't want to just say it, we want to live that life. Also, thank you so much for being with us as we've been reading through the Bible. We've got our Bible plan, and we're quickly coming to the end of this year, getting ready to restart another Bible reading plan, just going through the Bible and allowing God's Word to transform us from the inside out. We've got so much at ebcnc.com to help you during the week. We have our Monday manna at 7 o'clock on that virtual connection. Then we have our Tuesday noonday Bible study on that virtual connection. We're going through the book of Genesis on Tuesdays. And then Wednesdays at 7 o'clock at ebcnc.com, we're actually going through the book of Luke. We're almost finished with Luke, so I think we're just going to go ahead and transition into the book of Acts to continue that historical narrative to see the early church and how it grows and becomes so powerful as the Holy Spirit is doing what the Holy Spirit does. Also, we have our in-person Bible study on Thursday. That's right in our sanctuary, 2700 West Vandalia Road, where we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians, but we've taken a little path to do a study on angels. Within 1 Corinthians, we learn that we're actually going to judge angels. So we are studying angels to realize just what God is up to and how he's going to use us. And I'm telling you, it has been a challenging study. So that is on Thursdays at 6 o'clock in our sanctuary. And as always, thank you so much for praying for our different services, our 8:45 in person, 10 o'clock online, and our 10:45 in person. We've got a lot going on today. I want you to pray for the Ebenezer family. We have some friends of Ebenezer that will be having a funeral today from 1 to 2 in our sanctuary. And just pray for them as they have lost their loved one. Pray that they be comforted in this season and in this time. Also, at 2 o'clock, we're celebrating life. We have our Youth Connect where all our young people get together. They'll be in the back in the fellowship hall, and they're encouraged as they have a little boost that they go through and exercises that they go through to really understand who God is in a tangible way. And so we just thank God for the youth that the Lord has a place within Ebenezer and how they're growing. I've been pastor long enough to see generations actually be birthed out of Ebenezer, and I am just so blessed to be a part of God's plan. Well, I'm thinking about where we're going today, and I just want to thank you for what you do for Ebenezer, how you enable us to even have this through your giving. God loves a cheerful giver, and he tells us the purpose in our heart. And we're able to make this connection and be very consistent with our virtual connection throughout the week because of you blessing us, whether you're giving it online or you're giving it in person into our services there, or you're sending it into our secure mailbox. I just truly want to say thank you, as well as the leaders of Ebenezer. Thank you for all you do. We've been able to reach out to not just in Greensboro to our community and our church members, but we've been able to reach abroad. I just talked to one of the ministers that we're associated with his ministry that reaches Uganda and Jamaica, and we have been sowing into that ministry. So thank you. And that really transitions us into where we're going today, talking about our call and how critical It is. Well, let's just take a time of worship and just focusing in on the Lord and allow Him to just begin to work in our hearts so that we can receive a word from Him. We'll see you soon.
Our scripture this morning will come from John 14. I'm going to read 6 verses of it. Sit down. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. May God add a blessing to his great word.
Jesus paid it all to hear my own. Sin has left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to hear my own. Sin has left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
I hear my Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all.
Jesus paid it all. All to hear my own sin. The crimson stain, he washed me white as snow.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change a leopard spot and melt thy heart of stone.
Jesus paid it all, all to hear my own. Sin has left the crimson stain. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left the crimson stain. He washed in white as snow.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Any witnesses out there, just thanking him for paying it all, just put hallelujah. I know I need some quick a typer, just put hallelujah in the chat box. Wherever you're standing or sitting, just say hallelujah. Just thanking the Lord for he paid it all for us. Let's just go in a time of prayer as we prepare ourselves to get in the word. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. You are so wonderful. You are amazing. You are awesome. And if I had millions of adjectives, I could continue on. But Lord, thank you for being God and God alone, especially in this season, Lord, where so much is going on. It seems like darkness has descended upon the land. I thank you that you are our deliverer. Now, Father, I pray for whoever's looking in and listening now. Maybe there's someone that doesn't know you. I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they receive your wonderful gift, Lord. Now, Lord, I just welcome your Holy Spirit. Would you teach us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We just give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you just say amen? Put in the chat. Amen. Well, today, as we get back into the fulfillment of our calling, I want you to get prepared. Please get all your note-taking devices out. If you got to have pencils or pen, there's a lot of points going through these scriptures that we're going to be dealing with today, simply because looking at our calling, I have been amazed as the Lord has just been dealing with my heart, the facets of that calling and how God uses us in various ways. First, let's get back into that memory scripture, that 1 Corinthians 6:19. We've been reading it aloud together so that it can get in our mind and seep into our heart. So if you don't mind, let's read it together. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Isn't that good just to know that we are not our own? Well, today we are transitioning into another book of the Bible, epistle. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want us to focus in around that 16th verse. I've taught through this book a lot, but today God led me to a section that I haven't really spliced together before because the Holy Spirit just hadn't led me in that way. But when I began to look at these scriptures, I was like, wow, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the wonderful things that you're doing. So 1 Timothy chapter 4 and that 16th verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and 16, it reads, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. That 1 Timothy 4:16 again, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. I want to speak from a title today, The Importance of the Call. The importance of the call. Just going through that title, you can see where our focus is going to be to really kind of navigate through to look at the different types of calling God has for us. But sometimes we can just take for granted just the basic things that he's doing in our lives. As we get into this particular book, Paul is known as the aged. He's up in years now, and so he's beginning to go into a more discipleship program, especially to Timothy, a young pastor that's within the church. And he's struggling some. You know, he is trying to understand the gift that God has put on the inside of him, but yet he's trying to deal with those that are around and encourage them. And so Paul continually tries to just kind of help him to get to the exact places where he needs to be within his ministry and also within his life. The time frame is about AD 62 through 63. And as Paul is assisting Timothy in dealing with this heavy burden, he goes to around that 12th verse. And these are encouraging words also. He says in that 12th verse, "Let no one despise you, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Here's our first point. The Lord wants to use you now. The Lord wants to use you now. This is an encouragement, as I said before, because he was feeling like, you know, he was stressing out in trying to carry this load. And I want to encourage you, as we've been looking at our call, your lives, I know some of you are going through some stressful times. Know that the Lord is faithful. Know that he is ordering your steps and he has you right where you are. He wants to use you right now. The Lord is actually growing his calling in us. Can you put growing in the chat? Can you just say growing? He is. He's growing his calling on the inside of you. Whether you realize how large that is, that seed has already been deposited and we've taught from the foundations of the earth. So let's look at this scripture. There are several things that really help us to understand how he's using us within this scripture. The first word within that, in word. He's like, okay, as you're, the Lord is using you, he's using you right now in word. It refers to Timothy's conversation, his speech that should always be focused on the Lord. So as God is using us in our calling, we've got to be concerned about our conversation, not just when we're in the fellowship, but when we're at Food Line or Harris Teeter or Lowe's, wherever you go, Sam's Club or Costco's, we've got to be concerned about our conversation, because we don't leave our calling behind. It is who we are. Notice this next part within the scripture says in conduct. Our conduct refers to our demeanor, how we carry ourselves, our deportment, how people see us. This is critical in these season and time, because people are looking for those who are truly about Jesus, who truly love God and have been changed. Also within this scripture, we see in love. And this love is the motive. Why do we do what we do? Why do we even want to know about our callings and want it to be fulfilled so that we can love those that are around us and lead more people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ? And then that next part in the scripture says, in spirit. I love this one. This is enthusiasm. There's so many Christians that walk around just sad and downtrodden, but when you know that God is using you, any amens out there, there should be some excitement, some enthusiasm. Pastor Guy Keene, who served the Christ Church in Bethlehem, he states this. He says, spirit or enthusiasm is a quality strangely lacking from the makeup of many Christians. Plenty of enthusiasm for a football match or for an election campaign, but so little of it for the service of God. So we need to make sure that we are enthusiastic about God using us and that he has given us grace and mercy within our lives. Within that scripture, so many points within it says in faith. As the Spirit is speaking to Timothy, this means faithfulness. And I found that this is a quality that has become lacking with even in the body of Christ, that finding people who are faithful to the call of the Lord, faithful to the ministry and doing those things which the Lord has called them to do. And then he says this purity finally within this scripture should characterize not only his acts, but his motives altogether. So it's purity. So when people looked at Timothy and him walking in his calling, they would celebrate God because they knew that the Holy Spirit was working in him. We're talking about the importance of the call. Now notice as we build on this in 1 Timothy 4:13, he says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Here's the point. Strengthen your call. Yes, strengthen our call. As we're growing, as the Lord is fulfilling his calling in here, we want to make sure we're strengthening it, right? We want to be used more by the Lord. Timothy, as a pastor, as we look at that scripture, he was supposed to read the scriptures for himself but also read the scriptures for others. So the history of that time, not many people could read. And so those teachers, those leaders, those pastors were supposed to read the scriptures aloud in that translation for some of them so that they could understand. That's why I'm so blessed. And I would say, you know, if I had top 10 things that has caused Ebenezer as a body to grow and my family to grow, it's been reading the word aloud, hearing it aloud. I still do that from time to time, even in my own Bible reading program. I'll use a voice, and we've got AI now that'll read it to you. And reading it aloud, it just helps to hear it in a different way, to get it down into your heart. Notice Nehemiah in the Old Testament, around that 8th chapter and 8th verse, talks about this process of reading and growing in our calling. It says, so they read distinctly from the book and the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. When we understand God's word, we begin to understand how he's using us. Any amen out there? Exhortation or encouragement within the scripture, that's what is broken down. It's the application of the teaching. How do we walk it out, if that truth or belief that we're receiving affect our behavior? So even as we've been teaching on fulfilling our calling, I pray that the word, I know that the word has been hitting you and it's been changing you from the inside. And now we've got to react to that and say, okay, Lord, I want to be used more and more for you. This exhortation and also challenges those to hear the word, that hear the word, to actually apply it more and more on a daily basis, that we are not just doing a Sunday thing, but you know what? We're about Jesus and his calling on our life on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because it's who we are. It's in the fabric of our lives. But notice also within the scripture, it talks about in doctrine. Now, this doctrine translated to the Greek, it means teaching. Yes, this teaching, it's a systematic understanding of God's word. That's what we're doing today. We're systematically going through the scripture, getting to understand. We're opening it up, dividing the word plainly so that we can understand it and apply it to our lives. Titus 1:9 talks about this doctrine or teaching, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine or teaching both to exhort and convict those who contradict. The importance of the call. All these things are a part of what the Lord is doing in us. Look at this 1 Timothy 4:14. He says, do not neglect the gift. In the chat, can you put gift wherever you're sitting, standing at? Just say gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Here's the point. Don't hide it. Yes, don't hide it. Our calling is so important, and so often we take for granted that which the Lord has deposited on the inside of us. Jesus taught in Matthew 5:14, I love this scripture, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Yes, as the Lord is using us and the calling is coming within us, that's the light of God coming and impacting those that are around us. I remember years and years before I was a pastor ago, I was in the military. And while in the military, I did not have the thought of the gift of being a pastor or teaching or training anybody. I'm just trying to survive at this point. This lady came and she gave me this concordance. Yes, this concordance, what we started off today within this connection. And I had, it was huge. It was a huge concordance. I'm like, why are you giving me this? I don't need this. I had read a lot of the Bible at that point. I could not even imagine myself going through every word and splicing through and connecting things. But guess what? Just her using her gift of discernment to give give me that book, that concordance, it sparked something on the inside. It caused me to want to study more. It caused me more to wanted to dig more. And I'm telling you, that's why our callings are so important. I would say that huge concordance that was given to me years and years ago actually helped me to get to where I am right now. I keep that concordance. Actually, I keep it right up under the pulpit as I'm preaching, and it reminds me of how faithful God is and how important the call that God has put on our lives in impacting others is. 1 Timothy 4:15 continues on. He says, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Here's the point. What's on the inside will come out. Any amens out there? What's on the inside will come out. As we give ourselves more and more to the will of God, what is deposited, as said earlier, on the inside, it's going to come out. That's what our call is about. So the more we get into the scriptures, the more that we're going to see more of God come out of us. And we're like, okay, God, thank you for using me in that way. This 1 Timothy 4:15, it brings out some important words in here. It says meditate. This meditate actually goes back to a Greek background. It's the picture of a cow that chews on the cud, and they chew that grass or whatever food they're taken in, and they have several stomachs. It goes down, they regurgitate it, and they eat it again. And that's what happens. If you truly want to get to know what God is doing in your life, you got to get in the Word. You got to meditate on it. You got to pray. We just came through a time of fasting where we took time to pray and seek the Lord's face so that we could get direction within our lives. Notice within that scripture it said, give yourself entirely to them. We can't come to our lives and say, God, I just want to give you 25%. I just want to give you 15%. I want to take the rest. God wants all of us. He wants us to be a living sacrifice, to give our lives to them, because the call is so, so important. He said that your progress may be evident to all. Literally, as you're getting into God's word, as you're praying, as you're seeking him, asking him to use you more and more, it's going to be evident. People are going to see that the Lord is changing your life for the good. I love this song. It's called This Little Light of Mine. In 1920s, it was an African melody, and it goes like this: this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. But in the original, there's a stanza that we don't often sing. It was for the kids that was made up. It says, don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. That's why within our call, it's so important that we meditate and we dig in deep. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says it like this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Can you type out treasure in the chat, wherever you're sitting or standing? Just say treasure. I got a treasure on the inside in this earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It's all about the Lord and how he's using us. That eighth verse, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. The importance of the call, that treasure that the Lord has deposited inside of us. Look at that 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Here's another point. Each one reach one. Yes, each one reach one. If you've been with us a good little bit, that's our slogan, each one reach one, as we realize that God is using us to reach someone else. Notice within this scripture, this 1 Timothy 4:16, it says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, the teaching. What we got to think about, okay, what am I doing on a daily basis? Am I reading through the scriptures? Am I praying on a regular basis? Sadly, many Christians who call themselves Christians, they don't pray on a regular basis, or they have a habitual prayer that they just pray for maybe their food that they go through, and they don't even think about what they're saying. But saints of God, God, we have to focus in. This is our season and time that God wants to use us for his glory, so that again, souls can be brought to the knowledge of the truth of who Christ is. It says, continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. You see how important your call is and my call is? God has placed us in proximity, listen to me, of people who need to talk to us. Yes, who need to talk to us, who need to see the lives that we're living as we're walking in the call of the Lord. As we grow in our calling, we must be very careful. Yes, as God is using us more and more people may be attracted to the calling, the gifts that God has put in our lives. A.W. Pink brings out something. He was an English Bible teacher in the 1900s. He says this in an impact, and I see this in a lot of preachers and pastors' life. He says, service or calling becomes a snare and an evil if it be allowed to crowd out worship and the cultivation of one's own spiritual life. What he's saying here, sometimes the gifts that we have in our lives, if we're not careful, we can just be focused on the gifts and not focus on worshiping the one who gave us the gifts. That's what happens sometimes. We get blessed on our jobs. We get a promotion and we're working more than 40 hours. We're working 50 hours. We're making good money. So we work 60 hours. We're not getting much sleep or rest. We're not praying. We're not reading the scriptures. And we got to ask ourselves, who gave me that health? Who gave me the ability to do the job that I'm striving to do? And that service, just working, overrides our spiritual welfare. That's why we've got to focus in on the call is so important. But if it's not driven by the power of God, if we're not submitting ourselves over and over again, we can get off track. And the enemy constantly wants to come in and trip us. Jesus sums it up. This is what we have to do in our lives as God is using us. That John 12:32, and if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom. We've got to make sure that we're always putting the Lord first in the importance of our call. Look at this 1 Timothy 5:1, because as we transition into this fifth chapter, this link is so powerful. It's actually putting teeth in the callings, because now no one can escape just the existence of what God is doing in them. Listen to this. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. Here's the point. Living in your calling. Yes, living in your calling. You know, as we've been studying this, I started to realize being a father is a calling. Being a mother is a calling. Being a sister is a calling. Being a brother is a calling. And when we go in the Lord, these are callings. These are characterizations of how God uses us in the body of Christ. Let me explain this. As we grow in our calling, we can never lose respect for those that are around us. Because I believe that God is using everyone. Even if you don't understand it, please know that God is still using you. So we have to respect everyone that's around us. We can't say that it's just all about me, that I have this wonderful gift and I have this wonderful calling. Timothy, Paul wanted to warn him, don't get caught up in yourself. Don't get the big head. I remember years and years ago, in one of the churches I went to, there was this wonderful singer. And I was there long enough to see him be a young person and grow up to be older. And when he started off singing, man, you know, was humility there and just excited to be able to vocalize himself, and people would clap for him and they would get excited. And in that church, they would shout at his singing. And over the years, I saw something. Instead of giving God praise for the anointing that was upon his life, the gifting was in his life, pride began to rise up so much. He changed his demeanor, changed his hairstyle, all of these things, his clothes, to proclaim, I am the one. I am the gifted one. But sadly, the gift was still there, but that anointing began to diminish. And you know what? Eventually, he passed away early in life. And that
wonderful gift had to be taken away in a sense. And so we've got to make sure that pride doesn't rise up as the Lord is using us and he's giving us impact in other people's lives, that we always can say, if it had not been for the Lord on our sides, any amens in the house, never forget where God has brought us from. Now, as Timothy grew in his calling as a pastor, he was commanded to respect the older men and the women. He was commanded to also respect those that are around his age as sisters and brothers in the Lord. This is how we understand that we're many members of one body. In the Corinthian church, some had began to get caught up in this pride that we talked about, that we have to make sure that as we're walking closer to the Lord, that the enemy doesn't punch us and we find ourselves in a place that we don't need to be. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 4:18. Now, some are puffed up. Can you put in the chat puffed? Isn't that a word? That's a powerful word. Some are puffed up. Wherever you are standing and saying, say puffed up, puffed up. We have to be careful. That's pride. He says, as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Literally, that story that I told you, that person, they were puffed up, but the power, the anointing had left them. But those that were discernment, had the gift of discernment, could tell they were just going on talent. They were not in the anointing that God has. And we've got to make sure, I want to stay where the anointing is. Any amens in the house? I want our lives to be lived in anointing, not in pride and the enemy coming in and clouding our view. 1 Timothy 5:3 continues on. It says, honor widows who are really widows. We talk about the importance of the call. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Here's the point. Please get this one. Pay it back. Yes, pay it back. So I want to give a little history of the background of the time. So if you're a widow, especially a lady that was a widow, oftentimes you didn't have anybody to take care of you unless you had children, unless you had grandkids that stepped up because your husband had passed away. And that society was brutal when it came towards women. And so they depended on their grandchildren and their children stepping on. And I would even say, as we're talking about pay it back, that was a part of the calling, okay, as a grandchild and as a son, to take care of the parents. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later within the scriptures. I believe this facet was so, so important, and we're missing it in the church, that so often we're trying to do all of this other stuff and we're missing out on this basic part of our calling, dealing with and loving our loved ones and paying back those who are in need. There ought to be some amens out there. If God has blessed you, if God has done something for you, many times we can be blinded and go, man, he's blessed me, he's given me all this. But what about your family? What about your parents? What about those who are going through? Could your gifting, a part of that gifting, God could do, could he be anointed you to actually have the job that you have, to be able to do what you do? Some of you don't have the degrees to do what you do right now, but aren't you glad for God's grace and mercy and his wisdom? There ought to be some shouts, some hallelujahs that God can do. Some of you have retired, and when you look back on your life, how you got those promotions and those raises to get you to the point of having a 401k and being able to live as good as you're living, I'm telling you, you need to thank the Lord. But we can never forget those that God has put around us. We shouldn't just heap upon ourselves and have bigger houses and longer boats, but we got to say, God, is this a part of my calling? And if it is a part of my calling, do I need to reach out and bless grandma? Do I need to reach out and bless daddy? Do I need to reach out and bless auntie that's in within my family or my uncle that's going through? Our call is so, so important. I told you we're going to get deep, but notice 1 Timothy 5:5. It says, now she who is really a widow and left alone, trust in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives, and these things command that they may be blameless. Here's the point. continual prayer. Yes, continual prayer. Now, as we're thinking about this widow, so think about the callings. If she doesn't have anybody around her to take care of her, to support her, to pay back to her, guess what? She has to be in continual prayer. She is believing God for her provisions on a daily basis. She is staying focused on the Lord. And it talks about some had gone astray and they weren't walking in this calling. And I'm telling you, I thank God that sometimes he allows people to be in situations like this, that they're praying for their livelihood from day in and day out. But these are intercessors of the church. These are people who are calling out to the Lord. Look at this 1 Timothy 5:5, that second part. It says, trust in God and continues in supplication and prayers night and day. We need those folks that even in their poverty, even in their struggles of life, know how to pray, know how to call on the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, some of you need to shout thank you, because there was a grandma that was in a situation like this. There was an auntie that was in a situation, didn't have anybody, but they prayed for you and God answered their prayers. We need to cry out to God day in and day out. God, use us in whatever state we find ourselves in. Look at this final scripture of the day as we pull it together, 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Final point, providers. Yes, one word, providers. Now, this actual scripture piggybacks on pay it back, that whole section there. And my mind has just been processing my heart how God can use us in varying parts. I'm telling you, there's some people that just been blessed and God has just flowed monies their way. And I'm telling you, you're like, man, I'm so smart. No, it's not because you're so smart. God wants you to be able to bless others that are around you. Notice again, this 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for its own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. What it's saying here, even unbelievers sometimes, when they've been blessed with stuff, they'll bless the people around. But the saints of God, sometimes we can lose sight. Yes, God wants to bless us. Yes, God wants to use us. But please understand, our calling is so multifaceted that God wants to use us in our home life. Sometimes some people can focus so much on church and being a leader in church that they're missing out that they're leaders at home, that their wife needs them, their husband needs them, their children needs them. But isn't that the example of the importance of the call Jesus set for us? Aren't you glad that Jesus accepted the call to come from heaven to earth to walk among men? I'm telling you, I am glad that he multiplied fish. Aren't you glad for that? That's a wonderful, wonderful story. I'm glad that he multiplied the bread with that, and he was able to feed the 5,000 and the 4,000. But I want you to know, I'm glad the story is not over. I'm glad that he was able to walk on water. And Peter said, can I come on? I'm glad about that. I'm glad that he got to Lazarus' grave 4 days later, and he told Lazarus to get up, and Lazarus, the life came back into his body. But please understand, the call was so important that it wouldn't allow him to stop right there, but it took him to a garden called Gethsemane, that he cried out to the Father 3 times, not my will, but let thy will be done. Anybody excited about the importance of a call? I'm glad about that call that took him. And even though Judas Iscariot betrayed him, that Jesus didn't fight back, but he said, do what you have to do and do it quickly. I'm glad about the importance of a call that took him down the Via Dolorosa, where they beat him all night long. They spit on him. But Jesus had an appointment with Calvary, where nails were put in his hands and nails were put in his feet. There he carried our griefs and bore our pains. Anybody excited about that calling? On that cross of Calvary, we were delivered and set free. For he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave. But the importance of the call, he did not stay there. He got up on the third day with all power and glory, and now he's ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for us so that our call, that we can walk in all that God has for us, because it is important. Saints, look at the news. We've got wars and rumors of wars. The Israelites are fighting. We've got the Ukrainians are fighting. The Russians are fighting. We've got people that are drawn in with Israel, Hamas, and the Sunni sects. We've got Iran that's all around. We've got the Palestinians. We've got all kinds of the Egyptians. Everybody's concerned. Everybody's on edge. The United States, we're on edge. Darkness. We've got mass murderers that are taking place right here in the United States of America. We've got weather shifts that are still taking place globally. The enemy is stepping up his attack, but God is trying to tell us it is getting closer for his return. And because it's getting closer, he wants to use us as the enemy is stepping up his attack, because he knows he doesn't have long. Please know, as the saints, man, we're stepping up our calls. We're saying, God, use us, use us. Help us to be aware, whether it's in our home life and helping those that are around us, or maybe you put us in a public site where we're speaking to other people's lives, but we can never let the pride rise up in our heart, because we know it's all about you. Saints, I encourage you, today is our day that we have to seek the Lord with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. We've got to get in the Word. We've got to pray more and say, Lord, thank you for the call that you put on my life. If you're looking in and you don't know Jesus now, maybe something within these scriptures, as we dug in, we've gone through that fourth chapter and enter into that first part of the fifth, and you're like, man, God does want to use me. Well, the first step is to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and the scriptures are clear. You will be saved. It's by grace through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift from God. Yes, within that scripture, we talked about the gift that God has deposited in Timothy, and he's deposited in us. He's given us a gift of salvation that we couldn't work for it. We couldn't earn it within ourselves. It's all because of the importance of Jesus' call and what he did for us on Calvary. Cry out to him. Man, he wants to have a relationship. He'll change you from the inside out. For the saints, let's determine a day. We're going to get into God's word more. We're going to pray more. We're going to walk this out as the Holy Spirit is ordering our steps. As we realize these are serious times, and God wants to use us today. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this word, Lord. Oh, there's so much richness in it. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to our hearts, that in whatever state we find ourselves in, even in the struggles of life, you can use us, God. Thank you for your magnanimous plan, Father. Lord, I ask you to order our steps today, Father, that we can touch somebody's life, that a soul can cry out to you and say, what must I do to be saved? Lord, I thank you for your victory that you've given us. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I heard the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all and all. Verse 2. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Now I want you to help me say, Jesus paid it all.
sorrow. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Let's finish the verses out. For nothing good I have, whereby thy grace I'll claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Verse 4. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died for my soul, my lips shall still repeat. Come on, let's help me sing this line. Come on. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. I don't think y'all got it. Come on. Jesus paid it. Oh, oh, to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow.
Just want to thank you so much for just staying for communion, or maybe this is your first time coming in the evening and you're like, you know what, I need to take communion today. The Lord has done so many things for us, and it is so important that we just hear His voice and we submit to His ways, because our lives are important in His eyesight. He is doing so much on the inside of us. As we get into this communion today, I really want you to examine yourself. We're going to go through some portion of scriptures from 1 Corinthians and before we take the communion today. But I really want you to think about, am I holding anything in my heart? Do I have any ought against my brother or sister? And if you do, ask God for forgiveness. Ask Him to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1:9. And you know what? It is nothing wrong with putting pause on this communion time, sending a text, or calling that loved one and say, you know what, I am sorry. I want you to go ahead and get those articles, the bread, the juice. Maybe you have the communion cups from the church, or maybe you just got some bread and you've got some apple juice or some other types of juices, or even water or cola, whatever. This is a symbol of what the Lord has already done for us. And He said, as often as you do it in remembrance of Him. So I'm just gonna ask Bianca if she would just pray over our bread and our juice as we just consecrate ourselves to the Lord. Bianca.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise You and thank You for Your wonderful sacrifice, for giving us Your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for us. And Lord, we pray that You would praise you and thank you for a symbols of that sacrifice, Lord. We praise you and thank you for the bread, which symbolizes his body. And we thank you for the juice that symbolizes his spilt blood. I ask that you would bless it and sanctify it as we take it in remembrance of him. We praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 11:23, around that area, he gets a revelation of what this communion is all about. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.' In like manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" That is heavy to think about what we're going to do today with the bread and juice. We are remembering and we're proclaiming the greatness of our God and what he's done. But also it says, he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner actually will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we need to make sure that we're doing it right. It says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner will be," this is eats and drinks, "judgment." And we don't want judgment to come, and we do this in a wrong manner. That's why it's so important to examine our hearts. It goes on down in the scripture. It said, "For this reason, many are weak and sick, and some have died, sleep amongst you." We don't want that. So it says, "So let us judge ourselves." So when we are judged, we're chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. So what we're doing, we're examining ourselves. As I always say, even before today, we took this communion, like, "Bianca, we good? I'm good. I'm not holding anything with you." And she looked at me like, "Okay, it's a good day." So this is so, so important. So I want you to grab that article of bread, and Jesus is in that upper room during that final Passover before his crucifixion. And he literally gets the attention of the disciples by picking up that bread, and he breaks it. And he says, "This represents my body that's going to be broken for you. As often as we eat, let us do it in remembrance of him. Let us eat together." He picks up the goblet of wine, and it would be shared amongst the disciples. And here he says, "This represents my blood that's going to be shared for you. As often as we drink, let us do it in remembrance of him." What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Just to be connected with a holy God that loves us so much and allows us to partake in this communion, I'm telling you, we can give him so much praise and glory just for the small things that are huge things that he has done in our lives. Well, as you go through your day, I want you to stay focused on him. Give him praise, for he is a wonderful God. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.